This morning, the message is entitled Like Father, Like Son. And I want you to take your Bible and I want you to go for this special Father's Day message to 2 Kings in the Old Testament. I want you to find 2 Kings chapter number 21. If you need a message handout, our ushers will be glad to give you one if we missed you on the way in. Just lift your hand up, they'll be glad to give you one. 2 Kings 21, go ahead and be turning there, please. 2 Kings 21. And we're going to begin reading here in verse number 19. And we're going to read about a young man by the name of Aman. And you know, that's not a name that you hear a lot, Aman. My wife actually has an uncle that was named Aman. They called him George Aman. They always called him by both names. They didn't call him George. They didn't call him Aman. They always called him George Aman. And this guy's name was Aman that we're going to look at today. And in verse number 19, look at it with me. Verse 19, 2 Kings 21:19. It says, Aman was 22 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 2 years in Jerusalem. Just 2 years. Not a very long reign. It says there, his mother's name was Meshulameth. Isn't that a pretty name, ladies? Meshulameth. The daughter of Heres. Well, that's a good name, too. I wonder if Heres ever had a bad hair day. What do you think, huh? Heres of Joppa. Verse 20. And notice what it says about Aman. It says, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, as his father Manasseh did. And he walked in all the way that his father walked in, and served the idols that his father served and worshiped them. And he forsook the Lord God of his fathers and walked not in the way of the Lord. As I said, I've entitled the message, Like Father, Like Son. Aman did just like dear old dad did. Manasseh, his dad, was a wicked, idolatrous king. I mean, he was one vile guy if you study Manasseh. And his boy Aman trod in the steps of his father's actions and his father's identity. Now, here's what's interesting is that later on in life, his dad, Manasseh, actually repented of his evil. And he actually got his heart right. You didn't see that much with the kings. But Manasseh was, I mean, wicked and vile. And later on, much later in Manasseh's life, through circumstances, you can read about that sometime this week. But Manasseh got his heart right with God. But the sad part is, it was too late for his son. He had already ruined his boy, Aman. The story of Aman is a tragic story. Look how it ends. Look at verse 23. It says, and the servants of Aman conspired against him and slew the king in his own house. Wicked, wicked, evil, and dead at 24 years old. But I want you to notice that it all started in verse number 20. Look at it again. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, as his father Manasseh did. Fatherhood is such an incredible, awesome responsibility. In fact, look in your handout and notice God's admonition here to fathers. Look at it with me. It's in the top of your handout. Ephesians 6:4. It says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Look at the next verse, Colossians 3:21. It says, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be, what? Discouraged. It's interesting that there's nothing to mothers in these passages, but God puts all of the responsibility square on the shoulders of the dads. And this is why every father should positively impact their child for God. By the way, I'll throw this out, grandfathers can have impact too. Great impact. In fact, there's a little nugget here I'm going to kind of zing out there to you, and you can take it and study it. I challenge you to do it. And in fact, I challenge you to take Manasseh Amon, and then the next guy is Josiah, the next king after Amon. Amon died at 24. We just read that. But his son's name was Josiah. What's interesting is that Amon was such a wicked young man, and he died at 24 years old. But his son, Josiah, was one of the greatest kings that Israel ever had. He was a godly king. He did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. And I mean, he was an amazing man. And so, if you study it out, you know what you find out? Remember I told you Amon's dad, Manasseh, was evil and wicked, but he got his heart right later on in his life? Well, obviously, as we read the story here and you do the math, you realize that Manasseh must have impacted his grandson. As a grandfather, he impacted his grandson, Josiah, when he repented of his evil and he got his heart right with God and he started serving God. And so what's interesting is Manasseh, he blew it with his son, Amon, but he ended up impacting his grandson, Josiah, and Josiah went on to do great things for God. So, can grandfathers have impact? Can they? Yes or no? Oh, yeah. So, if you're a grandfather, take hope and take courage in that. You can still have great impact on your grandchildren for Jesus Christ. Now, how can we do that? How can dads and grandpas impact their children and grandchildren positively for God? Number one in your handout is this. First of all, you impact them through your godly walk. Through your godly walk. I want you to write that in and then go to our text. And I want you to look at verse number 21. All right? Verse 21. It says, "And he walked in all the way." Now, I want you to notice that phrase. He walked in all the way that his father walked in. He walked in all the way that his father walked in. Let me ask you a question, church. Is there a specific way that God wants us to walk and to live as fathers? Yes or no? Is there? Do you think Satan has a way he'd like for us to walk? Oh, yeah. There's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Men, what should characterize our walk? What should our children see? I want to give you three quick thoughts. Number one is this: your children should see Christ in you. Your children should see Christ in you. Colossians talks about Christ in you, the hope of glory. And then Philippians talks about Christ being magnified in our bodies. Christ being magnified in our bodies. So the question then is, do our kids see us as dads and grandfathers? Do they see us excusing sin, laughing at sin, making light of sin? Or do they see a very tender heart in dad? Do they see a holy fear of sin and unrighteousness in our life? Do they see us going the extra mile to protect ourselves and to protect them and to protect our home from anything impure or unholy? We should never have to explain our sin to our children. We should never have to explain it, excuse it, protect them from it. We should never have to excuse or protect them from and try to explain habits that are not right, or language that is not righteous, viewing habits that are certainly not holy, attitudes that simply are not right. We shouldn't have to explain that away to our kids. You see, our kids seeing Christ in us, that doesn't mean that you're perfect. Doesn't mean that you don't make mistakes. There are no perfect dads. Can I get an amen, huh, guys? There's no perfect dads. There's no perfect moms. There's no perfect parents. But your children see in you that you're real. You're sincere. You're trying to live unto the Lord. They see in you that, hey, my dad loves the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Amon walked in the way that his dad walked. Well, what way should we walk? Well, first of all, our children should see Christ in us. Number two, your children should see you treat your wife with love and respect. And I tell you what, I know it's Father's Day, but isn't that a great place for ladies to say amen right there? Amen. Your children should see you treat your wife with love and respect. Hey, men that demean their wife, talk down to her, treat her like a doormat, undermine her authority with the children, they are making a huge mistake. They are hurting themselves. You're one flesh with your wife. The Bible says that when you do something to your wife, you're doing it to yourself, man. You're beating on yourself. You're hurting yourself. When a guy does that to his wife, he's hurting the children, he's hurting himself, and he's destroying his children. Men never allow the kids to walk over mom either. Never allow your kids to walk over mom. You are her protector. Honor your wife. Love her dearly. Your kids are going to see that, observe that, and it's going to impact their life. I remember growing up, my dad had a really, really long fuse. He was such a patient man. But one of the things that would set him off is if we ticked mom off. Man, if we ticked mom off, it didn't matter. He could be sitting there reading the paper or whatever. And man, once we sent mom over the edge, here comes dad. And man, we better run, amen. Yeah, I mean, he was a protector of my mother. You didn't mess with mom. You didn't disrespect mom. That was a no-no. You did not do that. You have to protect your wife. And one of the ways that you impact your child in a godly way is they see Christ in you. They see that you treat your wife with love and with respect. You treat her with love and respect. But number three, your children should see you love them enough to spend time with them. You know, the only way to truly convey love is time. There's no other way. You know, money. You know, money doesn't convey love. You know, money, toys, gifts. You know, you give your kids a beautiful home and a nice neighborhood. None of that substitutes time spent with your children. And I know life is busy. I know it's crazy. But you've got to carve out time on a daily basis for those kids. They need it. They got to have that. Now, I'm not talking about once a year, taking them on vacation. I'm not talking about once a month, you know, doing something. I'm talking about daily spending that time with them. So crucial. Number two, the second thing I want you to see is this, is that we can positively impact our children through our worship, through our worship. I want to look at Manasseh again, who's kind of our, I guess, negative example of how to impact your child. But I want you to notice verse 21. Look at it with me. Verse 21. It says, "And he, Amon walked in all the way that his father walked in." That was our first point, your godly walk. But then notice, he served the idols that his father served and worshiped them. He followed dad's example of how to worship, and it damned his soul. He said, "I'm going to worship the way dad worshiped." And when dads worship money, don't be surprised when your kids grow up and worship money. Worship is just whatever you put at the top of your priority list. That's what you worship. If you worship sports, don't be surprised if your kids grow up and worship sports. If you worship cars and houses, don't be surprised if they worship cars and houses. If you worship name brand, the latest this and the latest that in clothing, don't be surprised when your kids fall at that altar. And that's what they worship. Whatever altar you fall at, dad and moms too for that matter, that's the same altar that your kids most likely are going to fall at too. Fathers, you've got to be the worship leaders of your home. I mean, we as dads, we are to see that our homes are places of worship, places that reverence the Lord. You say, "Well, how do I do that?" It's very simple. You read the Bible, you know, read the Bible as a family, you know, pray, share the gospel of Christ with your kids. I'll tell you one of the best ways to make your home a place that worships and reverences the Lord. Let your kids, let them see you bragging on Jesus. Just bragging on Jesus. You know, man, I mean, let them see you bow your head and give God the glory and give God the thanks and brag on Jesus and just love on Jesus. Let them see you doing that. My heart's desire is that one day, and I've been thinking a lot about this this week because, you know, with my uncle passing away, wow, I don't have any uncles or aunts left on either side. I don't have any grandparents left on either side, and I don't have my dad. You know, it's my mom and my two brothers. And I was thinking about that this week, how short life is. And I thought, you know, when they lie me in the ground, I don't want my kids to stand over my casket and say, boy, Dad built a big church. Boy, Dad, he made a lot of money. That'd be a lie. They'd be lying. When they stand over my casket, I want them to say, Dad was a man of God that was real. And we saw how much he loved Jesus. And he impacted and he influenced us to love Jesus. That's all. That's it. I just want them to be able to say, man, the guy just loved Jesus. And he made us want to love Jesus. There's a poem I read that I thought was so good. And it goes like this. I hope they say of me that I love my children and wife. Most of all, I hope they say, I love Jesus more than life. So when I'm laid to rest, life's journey I have trod, I hope my children will say of me, Dad was a man of God. I hope they say of me, my words were gentle and kind. Most of all, I hope to leave a life of truth behind. So when I'm laid to rest, life's journey I have trod, I hope they say of me, here lies a man of God. I'm not much on poetry. That's your poem for the year. But that's your poem for the year. So, but I'm not real big. But I thought that was worth reading. I thought that should be the heart of every man. That you just want your kids to say he was a man of God. It doesn't mean you're a preacher. Just wherever you're at in life, whatever you do, you're a man of God where you're at. You're a man that stands for God. You love God. You love Jesus Christ. And like I said earlier, it takes a man to be a man of God. Any wimp can go with the current and float downstream. Buddy, it takes a man of strength to go against the current and go upstream and to be a man of God. That takes a real man. Some of the greatest, bravest men you'll ever read about are right here in this Bible. Men of God. Manasseh, the dad, Bible says he had some carved images. He had some idols that hindered his worship of the true God. And in your handout it says, do you have any idols in your life? Do you have any idols, guys, that are hindering your fellowship with Christ? You know, when idols are set up, we don't want to worship God. You know, that's the thing. When we got idols that we're falling to worship, we don't want to worship God. We don't want any part of worshiping God. And so if you got idols, what do? You destroy them. You got to destroy those idols and clean up your heart so that you can lead your child or children in the true worship of Almighty God. And here's what's really interesting, another little tidbit, another little nugget here for you, is that if you cross-reference and you read the rest of the story about Manasseh, he was wicked, man. Like I told you, he was one vile guy. He ended up repenting later on in his life. And I told you he got his heart right with God. And you know what he did when he got his heart right? He cast out the carved images. But here's the key. He did not destroy the idols. He didn't destroy those carved images that he had worshipped. The Bible says that he cast them out, but he didn't destroy them. Wait a minute. God told Israel in Deuteronomy 7:5, he said those images, those carved images, he said you burn them with fire. Don't throw them in the trash can. Don't just throw them in the closet. He says you burn them with fire. You reduce them to ashes. Well, Manasseh didn't do that. He did get his heart right and he did repent. I guess he didn't know his Bible well enough to know I need to burn these things. He just cast them out. And after he's dead and gone, Aman, his son, finds those carved images, drags them out, those carved images that Dad had made, and he worships those carved images and he served them. What's the lesson? What's the moral of the story? In your handout it says, it's not enough to simply hide or put away these sinful idols in our lives. We must destroy them, lest our children fall prey to it. Because after you're dead and gone, they may drag them out if you don't destroy them and then fall at that altar and worship those carved images, so to speak. And you know what I mean. I'm not talking about literal carved idols. I'm talking about things in our life that are sinful and wrong that we need to not just put away. We don't just put it in the closet. Don't just put it in the drawer. Don't just put it where the kids can't get to it. Destroy it. Destroy it. Reduce it to ashes. Number three, the third way that we can impact our children is through our wisdom. Through our wisdom. And I want you to look at verse number 22. Go back to our text. And everybody look at verse number 22. It says, "And he, Aman, forsook the Lord God of his fathers and walked not in the way of the Lord." He did just like Dad. And you know what that teaches me? That this young man, Aman, had no wisdom whatsoever. He was stupid. He was ignorant spiritually. He had no wisdom. He forsook the Lord. Look in your handout, Proverbs 9, verse 10. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." There's a holy reverence and respect for God and who he is. Aman had none of that. Aman had no respect for who God was. He had no reverence. He had no respect for God at all. He had watched his dad disrespect God. He had watched his dad set up idols. He had watched his dad worship these false gods. And he had no respect for God at all. The young man was devoid of wisdom. He was a fool. He forsook the very one that was capable of blessing him beyond measure, and the God that would have blessed him had he simply followed God and followed his word. And Aman's lack of wisdom cost him his throne, cost him his kingdom, and cost him his very life. Dead at 24 years old. Men, what's the lesson here? And there's a lesson. We have to impart wisdom to our children. How can we do that? Number one, carefully guard our lips. The Bible says, a man that can't control his mouth, there is more hope of a fool than of him. We can really hurt our kids by running our mouths without thinking. We can hurt our kids by running our mouths without thinking. Many of you still feel damaged from things that maybe your dad said to you in childhood. And dads, a lot of times, you know, we can say something in anger or frustration and we just move on. But those words are like a sword piercing, and they scar. And dads, listen, we've got the ability to encourage or really discourage our kids. How? Through our words. I want you, everybody, to take your hand out, turn it back over to the front side real quick, and I want you to look again at that verse at the top, Colossians 3:21. Look at that verse. It says, fathers. Notice he singles out dads, not moms, not parents. He could have said parents, right? He didn't. He said fathers. He said, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be what? Discouraged. Sometimes the hurts that come from our lips, they don't go away very easily in our children. And some of you can attest to that, and you know that. And it's very dangerous when you speak words in anger. Don't do that. You know, I remember growing up, you know, my kids growing up, and Clint, you know, he was up here playing the keyboard a minute ago, and Clint, he's got a boy of his own now, and I remember he would do things sometimes, and just, you know, kids can just do things that just make you upset, you know, and I remember I'd send him to his room, and he said some of the worst moments of his life was when he was in that bedroom waiting for Dad to come in, you know. Because, you know, you wonder, okay, is he going to punish me? Is he just going to talk to me? What's going to happen, you know? And I told him this morning, we all laughed in the early service. I said, you know, he said the worst part of the punishment was having to wait in the bedroom. And I said, son, I wasn't doing that to punish you. I was just doing that to try to get a hold of myself. You know, I just wanted to make sure that I talked to you in love and not in anger. So I just got to, you know, kind of separate myself and make sure I was composed before I talked to you. Carefully guard your lips. The second way that you can impart wisdom to your kids, number two, serve God now. The Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, because you do not know what a day may bring forth. Manasseh, I told you about the dad there, Manasseh. Hey, he repented in his old age, but it was too late for his boy. He'd already ruined him. And here's the thing. Even if, you know, he did impact his grandson, but Amon didn't change. And the thing is this, you know, even if we repent and we decide we're going to get our heart right later on, you know, and you might be able to do that. You might live to 60. You might live to 70. You might live to 80 or 90. And you might be able to wait and just repent and get your heart right when you're older and serve God when you're older. You might be able to do it. Might not, but it might work out for you. But there are no guarantees that our kids are going to follow our example and repent. And that they're going to get right. And that they're going to serve God. I'll serve God when I'm older. You might. But it may destroy your kids' lives. Perhaps Amon, this young man here, Amon, maybe he thought he would do like Dad. Man, I'm going to live it up. I'm going to worship these idols. I'm going to partake in all this sin. And I'm going to live it up. Man, I'm the king now. I can have whatever I want. And I'm going to live it up. I'm going to live for the pleasures of this life. And you know what? Maybe when I get older, you know, maybe I'll get my heart right, kind of like Dad did. He never got a chance. He never got a chance. He died at 24 years old. So guys, the lesson here is to serve God now. If you want to impart wisdom to your kids, serve Him right now. Don't think, well, later on. No, now. And then number three. The third way you impart wisdom to your kids is to admit when you've been wrong. A wise man, the Bible says, will take instruction, will increase in learning. Before you put your hand out up, I want you to leave it out, please, and don't put it up quite yet because I got one more thing I want to do with it. But you know, when a dad admits to his kids that he's been wrong, do you think that causes him to lose respect in their eyes, yes or no? He gains respect. I've had to apologize to my kids many times through the years. Never be afraid to admit when you've been wrong. You see, our lives need to back up our words. Look at your handout and look at that real quick. What did we just say? How do you impart wisdom to your kids? We said number one there on the back side of the handout. How do we impart wisdom? Well, we said carefully guard our what? Our lips. Watch what you say. Number two is serve God what? Now. Number three is admit when we've been what? Wrong. Hey, I heard about a man that was having a little chat with his little boy, and he was trying to tell the little boy what a Christian should be like and how a Christian ought to act. And I mean, he went through it all. This is how a Christian should talk. This is the way a Christian ought to act. And when he was all done talking, the little boy looked at him and asked a stunning question. He says, Daddy, have I ever seen a Christian? Not exactly a Kodak moment, amen. What a telling commentary. Life is so short. You know, a guy in our church, one of our deacons, his son sung that song. Caleb Rich sung the song. And you see his kids up here, you know, playing instruments. Mike Rich. We asked the church, if you got a picture of you and your kids, you know, send it to us. And we're going to show those again tonight before the evening service. But he sent a picture, and he sent it with an explanation. He actually sent two pictures. And we'll go ahead and bring up the first one here. Look at this picture. That's Mike Rich. And the young man that sung today, that's him on the left. And the guy who plays the keyboard up here a lot is on the right. That's Adam. And the girl you see up here playing up the instrument, that's Phoebe on top. And then you see their two other boys, Ethan and Luke, and they've made a pyramid. Well, they got into a tradition of every year of doing the pyramid. And so they've done this every year, and now here's the latest one. A little taller, isn't it, huh? And there they are. They're all in the exact same order. And that was taken last year. They're not here today. They're actually camping, and he said, we're going to do our family pyramid picture this year. This was last year's. They're going to do another one this year. He said, we do it every year. And he sent an email, and he said, I don't know where the idea came from to build a pyramid. He said, but as I look back on these pictures, I think of how it is so true that dads are meant to be the keystone holding their children up. And then he said, the day may come that I'm not going to be able to hold them up. He said, but as I have for years, I will continue to hold them up in prayer until my last breath. I am so thankful that the Lord let me be a father, and I am sure that you are too. Happy Father's Day in Christ, Mike Rich. Men, listen. Let's redeem the time, because life goes by fast. I'm sure to Mike, that seems like a blink of an eye right there. Life goes by so fast. Let's be the dads that God has called us to be, and the granddads that God's called us to be, and enabled us to be.